Thank you very much for the time you have given to us, for how gracious you have been to us. We thank you for your merciful kindness. We thank you for your privilege, for the privilege to be watered by your Spirit, to be instructed, to be corrected, to be chastened. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done to ensure that we come up to the standard you expect of us. Thank you for the ministry that you have sent through this weekend. Thank you for the principles, the precepts. Thank you for the word, the prophecies, the dreams. Thank you for all that you have done. We are so very thankful. Even for this time, we know that when we are gathered in your name, in your interest, for your glory, that you are there to bless, to nourish, and to build up. So Lord, we ask that you might grant us the mind of Christ, not the mind of man. Ask for the Spirit of Christ, even the seven spirits, even the fullness. We ask for the power of the word, for the letter killing, for the Spirit is that which brings life. We ask for that light that comes from the Spirit, from your Spirit. We do ask for that breath of your, of the Almighty, even that time of refreshing. Let the heavens be opened unto us. Let this vision be made very plain. We receive help, even faith, to go forth with the determination to bring about a change in our lifestyle, in our offerings. We pray you will instruct us, even this evening. We ask for your help. For we see trouble coming. And we ask, oh God, that in this little time that we have, you might help us to lay the proper foundation, to do what that is necessary, to be ready. For you have said we are not yet ready. And we ask for your help, that we might be ready. We say that when the bridegroom cometh in the midnight hour, we pray we'll be ready. That our lamps will not be empty. We ask, O God, that you might fill our lamps. Fill it, O God. Let this mighty wind, this mighty river flow. That might carry out this work. It might fulfill this counsel and work. In the name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I feel burdened to look through some basic scriptures with us. Time is gone, so I believe that God will help us to go through some very, very basic scriptures. But it's important because there are many, many concepts, many principles, many things that have been put on the table this past weekend. And for those of us who are used to teaching, it's good to go over again. Amen. The reason is that you don't want to make assumptions. You know, I'm used to making brain presumptions, so I'm just learning to learn not to be presumptuous, because it could be very costly. I want to talk about the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind. When you talk about the mind, most for me, my mind goes to the natural. As a doctor, you are trained in the mind. Most of us, in the things we are doing, we are involved, we also use our mind. But that's not very, very far from what the scriptures teach about the mind, what the principle, what we're given about the mind. And the battle is in the mind, and if we're going to overcome, then we must walk according to the principles that's been laid down regarding the renewing of the mind, the redemption of the mind, the healing of the mind, the building up of the mind, and all the other things that are interconnected. I think it's important that we do not go outside of the borders that are set by Scripture. Because it has been dangerous, and it can be very dangerous. So I'll try to go through the Scriptures. Let's see what the Scriptures say about the mind, renewing the mind. And in talking about it, I'll be talking about faith. Because you cannot talk about the mind without faith. We will see. I will also be talking about entering the kingdom. It's all seeing and entering the kingdom. The principle of seeing and entering. Jesus told them, except you see, you cannot enter. And I would like this to be an interactive thing, talk and share as we go along. So the first scripture I want to read is from Jude, just one chapter. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But Jude 20. Faith has nothing to do with prosperity. There is no connection. The way faith is being taught today is it's really looking at it upside down. Faith has nothing to do with prosperity. Nothing to do with prosperity. Faith speaks of a relationship. When you think of faith, you think of a relationship. The devil has corrupted the world today that when you think of faith, you think of prosperity, that you lack something, you believe God, ask God to give it to you, he gives it to you, then you have faith. There is no such thing. It's complete. Faith.
The comment says that faith is the currency of heaven.
There's no such thing. It's not in the Bible. That's why I was very careful to say, let us stay within the scripture. You know? So, let us stay within the scripture. So, what does the Bible say about faith? It says, faith is what? It's a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things spiritual. The things you don't see are spiritual. Amen. So faith is of the spirit. It's a spiritual reality. Alright. Someone that was telling us, and of course took us back to James, that says the way you see faith, you see the evidence, the effect of faith. If you have faith, you demonstrate it by works, by that which manifests physically. And if you look through the whole Hebrews 11, you don't get the feeling of buying and selling. You don't get the feeling of somebody who doesn't have a car, he goes to God to go get a beautiful car. You know, so they are not completely. In fact, faith speaks of a relationship. And in fact, a better word is that faith is offering. When you think of faith, you are thinking of an offering. God, someone relating. The way God wants me to relate with Him is to relate with Him on the basis of an offering. I offer my life to God. That's the way I relate to God. And God relates to me by also offering Himself to me. You know, so it's a relationship based on offering. God, He gave His Son. He gave His life. When He gave His Son gave His life. And I relate to Him by giving my life also. You know, so it's a relationship of giving. You know, and as you give, you draw closer. You know. Now, the issues of provision are actually secondary, because they seek you first. Faith is seeking. You know, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all other things. You know. So Jude here is talking about building up ourselves. You know. I really believe that God will help us to build up our faith. You know. And the right definition says faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Amen. Let's go to the other scripture. Sorry, I'll be reading quite a lot of scriptures today. And also saying them. And by the way, I would really like you not to believe anything I'm going to say. Please don't. You believe the one you are convinced. You know, and to be convinced means you have to go and check it. You know, you have to be a Berean Christian. Go check it. If it is true, then take it. If it's not true, just throw it away. Amen. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9:25 says, "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." My interest is verse 27. It says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." So it gives me the impression that there are two people here, that there are two individuals. Or there are two two things that are relating. You know, Paul says he differentiates eye, and he talks about body. So he says, I keep my body under. Amen.
Amen.
So, and that was what, coming back to Thomas, of course, Brother Mark gave the witness. And I hear another sister in this place had the same experience. And it's the reality of faith. You know, he spoke. You know, he identified the reality in the spirit of the soul bringing the body under subjection, speaking, you know. And as we will see, because I want to talk about life in the spirit, you know, living in the spirit, walking in the spirit, you know, and the principles that are involved. You know, so you cannot walk in the spirit if you do not, or if you think that all that there is to you is your body. Now, this is what the devil wants us to believe. This is what he wants you to believe. Okay? But when you are able to differentiate your inward man, the eye, from the house, the body, that there are two people. So God has given you a body to minister to your soul, to your inward man. And you have a responsibility of giving life to your body. When you just had dinner, if you did, what you did was to give life to this outward man using natural energy to bring strength to it. So when you eat food, it is to minister to the natural body. But as we will see, and as we've been hearing through this weekend, there is another way to bring life to that body. There is another way to bring life to that body. And that pathway has been neglected, has been downplayed. So when your body is sick, we only think of the natural. Once in a while, we come to fellowship and say, pray for me. You know, it's just a last resort. And sometimes it is we don't really believe. You know, well, it may or it may not. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus gave a scripture. What did he say? Man shall not receive energy only from the natural, but by every word that proceeded from God. So this body is both spiritual and physical. Hollywood is ahead of us because they have understood. So everything they are doing now, they are just rising and flying around doing all sorts of things. Because they realize what the body is, that this is a spiritual body. Amen. So, Corinthians is telling us that there is such a relationship between the outward man and the inward man. And Paul, if you read Paul, you know, he separated between the outward man and the inward man. Or sometimes he calls it the inner man. And a famous word scripture says, though the outward man perish, but the inward man is what? Being renewed. In other words, the inward man and outward man have two different pathways. Amen. One is going down, and the other is being. So James says, I wish above the doubt. That word means pray, build up your faith. Yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many, when last you prayed in the Holy Ghost. You prayed, you know, many of us are baptized, you know, we have that experience of baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we don't know what we have. We don't utilize it. And because most of the time, our eyes are turned to the natural. Amen. A man that's praying in the Holy Spirit, when you are praying in tongues, you are speaking words, but you do not understand the words. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
When you are praying in tongues, you are speaking words. Okay, the scripture says you are speaking to God, but you don't understand. But there is someone who is active. It is the unconscious mind. It is, or rather, the spiritual dimensions of the mind that is active. And the redemption that God has given to us is complete and total. And we're not going to leave anything for the devil. Amen. You're not asking me what's going on. Amen. What's it about since I said, he told Pharaoh, says, not one hoof. We are taking everything and we're going. Amen.
Amen.
So the deliverance God has brought to us is total and complete. We will come back to that. I want to go to another scripture. Matthew 8. I'm looking at the laws of the Spirit. I'm looking at the laws of the Spirit. Matthew 8. Matthew 8:26 is very interesting. Matthew 8:26 is very interesting. What do we find here? His disciples, which could very well mean any one of us here, they came to him. Of course, you know the story. They were on the sea, and then a great storm arose. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We perish." Verse 26. And he said to them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" That is the new man God is raising. Did Jesus expect them to speak to the wind? From this scripture. Did he? Was it a legitimate expectation? Was it a right expectation? Or was he being high-handed? Was demanding something that was beyond them? Okay, let's put it the other way. Does God expect you to speak to the winds, to the storms, to the mountains? Really? Have you been doing that? When your storm comes tomorrow, what are you going to do? You are going to fly back to Uganda yesterday, tomorrow. And usually when you go from land, if you are going from land to water, or you go from water, there is usually turbulence. If you notice. What are you going to do? I was out in the mall. I shared it the other day, and then these young people, they started fighting, and my first reaction, you know what it was? Get out of the building, out of safety, run out and go to safety. That was my first reaction. Just You don't, because now they might come and arrest everyone and all that. That was my first reaction. And I didn't want them to get into any immigration problems. I just wanted to get out as soon as possible. So panic began to come in, isn't that so? All right. And it was, I didn't even realize, it was much later in the day that I said, oh my, I told my wife, I'm sorry, I really missed the opportunity to speak. To speak to the situation. Amen. Amen. But going beyond that, what are we looking at? I'm trying to show something. Now, the truth of the matter is that there is the physical, natural law which governs the physical man, which governs the outer man. And Brother was talking yesterday. This outward man, remember, this outward man is a servant of the inward man. When we speak of the, we are speaking about your soul and your spirit, which are both spiritual. And if you do the right thing, your body will also become spiritual. Alright? Now, this natural law of body now is subject to natural physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, geography, all that. Those are the physical laws. But what we get from this scripture is that God is also saying that the spiritual laws are also working now. So, both are working. And we see that principle. We see Esther, it was right there. They have made a decree. They were not able to change the decree. The only thing they did was to bring forth another decree. He said, you can defend yourself. So we see two laws working. And also in our own, what you call miracle is a manifestation of the spiritual law. In other words, there are two principles again, if you permit me. You are looking at time and eternity. In the spirit, there is no time. In the spirit, there is no distance. In the spirit, there are two principles that work. And the first principle is this principle of faith. In the spirit, you are looking at the evidence, the spiritual evidence, the basis upon which actions are taken. And then the second principle you find in the spirit is the spoken word. Authority is exercised by the spirit. Authority is also recognized in the spirit by the word. So a man that has authority speaks the word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And if you study closely, Jesus always spoke to the spirit. He rebuked the spirit. And when he rebuked the spirit, they obeyed him. So in the spirit, there are two principles. The principles of faith and what? Let's just examine a little bit some of those things and then we'll see. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're just trying to lay the foundation here so that we can move forward. Now, John 6:63 is a very important scripture. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So when you think of words, you must think of spirit. Now, the soul is spirit. If you want to touch or affect your emotions, when we speak about soul, we mean emotions, will, desire. If you want to influence your emotions or your will, the way God expects you to do it is by the word. Amen. So if someone wants to change, you do not change by activity. You change by word. So For instance, Psalm 19 verse 7 says, the word of the Lord is perfect, changing the soul, converting the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not getting any response from you. Amen. There's a scripture, I can't find where it is. There's somewhere in Proverbs. It says that the words of a tale bearer, what do? They create a deep wound. If I want to wound you, I speak words to you. What is it that causes problems in fellowship? He said. She said. She said. She said. He said. Then you and your husband, he said, why should you, honey, why should you say it? What causes problem is what? Said. The spoken word. Because the words that you speak, they are spirit. And they are life. Okay, so Proverbs 13:8. So you can 18:8. You can write it down. Now, when I saw that, I said, "Yeah, that's very good." So, if I want to change my appetite, how is my appetite going to change? By the word. Amen. I'm not hearing amen. You want to change, you know, we are hearing changing of lifestyle. How do you think your lifestyle is going to change? It's by the word. Amen. Okay. You are not quite convinced. Let's go to another scripture. Maybe this will convince you. 2 Corinthians 6:3-6. That's why I'm writing the scripture. Write it down. After this conference, just go and go through. I remember we have an agreement that you will not believe what I'm saying until God tells you. Alright? Okay, 2 Corinthians 3. No. I didn't find it yet. 3:6. What does it say? Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit killeth. Amen.
Amen.
So, it's possible that what I'm doing now is letter. And God help you. Because it's going to kill you. Maybe the Spirit is going to give you life.
Amen.
Amen. That is the reality. Don't let anybody fool you. When the word is coming, it's coming in two dimensions. Either letter or spirit. Amen. Oh, sorry. Now, how do you know the word God sends to you? It comes with fresh breath. It comes with life. Amen. Somebody rebukes you, but it brings life to you. Don't you understand? So you hear a sharp word. Says, you told him, bring sharp knives and circumcise them. The sharp knife is the word. Brother, we need sharp knives. You need that sharp word in the spirit to cut away the excesses of the flesh. And some of us have a lot of, but I can say I have a little of, you called me one name today. You called me one name today. I said, well, I didn't bother because that word is in the past. Because there are sharp knives that have got taken care of all those things. Amen.
Amen.
If the sharp knife visits you, you cannot be the same. You know, we remain the same because we have not come to the word. There is power in the word to change.
Amen.
Amen. I hear some people say, well, we've been hearing this word, nothing has happened. What do you know what has happened? Is a letter. You relate to the word as letter. And it's not going to bring any profit to you. But if you realize that the words that he's speaking, they are spirit, you go for the spirit of the word. Amen. And you will find a lot of excitement. You know, so Even Sony television, they know that words are spirits. Intel knows that words are spirits.
Yes.
They all know that drawing that they talk of broadband is now is it 4.7? They're going to what do you think is going on? Cloud. Those are spirits, and they're using it. But the people that know the spirit are Pharisees. So our Sadducees are running away from the spirits. May the Lord help us. Amen. The words that we're hearing, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Okay, let's look at one more scripture, then we'll move on. Matthew chapter 4. No, before Matthew 4. Let's go to something more fundamental. Second Kings 6. Second Kings chapter 6. I pray you can get the impact of this scripture, because this is a life-changing scripture. This one is a life-changing scripture. But then he's smiling because he knows it's a life-changing scripture. Second Kings 6:17. It says, Elisha prayed, I'm going straight, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What's the background of this story? You know? Okay, it says they sent some people to come and arrest Elisha. That's why we need to grow above ISIS.
Yes.
And all the bombs that are talking about. You understand? Now, because when we properly situate ourselves, we know that all those things don't belong. They are in one realm. We are in a different realm. A different realm is not English language, it's a reality. So you probably know where you are before you go and start playing around with bombs. Before you start playing around with bombs, because you have to be sure.
And you're joking. Yeah. And you can give life to those who are with you too.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So here is a servant of the man of God, a brother like you. All right. He woke up in the morning. And the whole place, behold, and host compassed the city, both with horses and... Now, when he says, when the servant of man was risen and gone forth, behold, and host compassed around, okay? And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that... How did he know? How did Elisha know that those that were with him were more than the host? You understand? Brother Bella was telling us the story yesterday about this sister. Last week, she passed on. She was saying, He's here. Jesus is here. And they were looking. They didn't see him, but she was seeing. The truth of the matter is that for a long time, we have been operating on one leg, not knowing that there's another leg. The man God made has two legs, the natural leg and the spiritual leg. And this young man, look at verse 17. It says, And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you, open his eyes. Was he a blind man? Brothers, was he a blind man?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask it properly. Was he a physically blind man?
No.
Now, when was this happening? In the Old Testament. Okay? This was when it was happening. And this man was physically full of eyes. I mean, he could see all around him. You could see the soldiers. But inwardly, he was blinded. Amen. And, you know, he prayed, say, oh Lord, open his eyes. And when he saw, he could see the embankment that God has put around. You know, we have been living and walking on a principle that is running out of date, is outdated. You know, and where we are now, we can no longer continue with it. So I brought the scripture to illustrate the fact that there are two types of eyes, because there are two types of men. There are two personalities. The inward man is as much a real personality as the outward. Now, is that scriptural? Because we have to prove it. You know, because we are going to build a lot of things on this principle. So we must prove it. Is it in the Bible? Is it scriptural that there are senses in my soul? Is it scriptural? So we have to prove it. How can we prove it? Let's go to scripture, because you go to scripture to prove scripture. Amen. You must have confidence in the word. Alright? So let's go to Psalm 94. Psalm 94 verse 9, what does it say? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Does God hear?
Yes.
Does God hear you?
Yes.
Which kind of ears does he use to hear you? Is it this one? Okay. God sees you. How does he see you? With these two round things. In fact, 1 John is even more specific. It says, that which we have seen, that which we have head, that which you have touched, looked upon. You see, of the word of life that was from the beginning, that is, before time it was there, it could not be a physical thing, yet it manifested physically. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at another one. The other scripture is Genesis chapter 1. What does Genesis 1 say? That God created us in his own image and likeness. So God has these senses. Therefore, the man he made also had those senses. So it is not anything big that, you know, in the realm of the spirit, you have the capacity. In the medical thing, we use the word capacity. If you don't want to be technical, you could say an ability. God, these things are just a small device that God put so that you can receive waves that you call sound. Same thing with these things you call eyes. All right, it is for the benefit of the soul. Alright? And God, the same image God had was what he reflected. Alright? So let's see another scripture that gives us that thought. Psalm 135 carries forward that thought. Because this one is an applied principle. that can change their lives. I thought there should be a big amen following that.
Amen.
Okay, you haven't seen it yet, so you want to see before you say amen. It's okay, it's agreed. Well, it's good to say what you don't. Okay, we have an agreement that you would not believe me until you see it. Okay, so let's look at it. Now, this principle works both ways. Alright? The mind is an image worshipper. Never forget it. Whatever you do, never forget that. The mind is an image worshipper. And the mind works by a principle, which we are going to see. Image and words. When a mind sees image, it is translated in, it is registered in the mind as words. When, as you are hearing my words now, it is registering as an image in your mind. So that is the principle. And when a mind sees an image, it relates to that image by becoming like the image. So anything you see, you will become. There are, you know, the scriptures. Jacob, is it Jacob?
Yeah, Jacob.
It's not Jacob. Good. He saw this, you know, these horses. It was, you know, the goats and sheep and all that. And then he carved it and put it before. And as they beheld it, they began to bring forth what became like them. There are other scriptures, but let's look at this one. Because these are the principles that that come into play when we talk about the redemption of the mind. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths